Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's talk a little college football right now. And pleased to be joined by Ben Kercheval, who covers the college football beat as well as the XFL for CBSSports.com. He's been a guest on the show before. Ben, it's great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing well. This NFC Championship game looking like a college football playoff semifinal, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Blowout, dude.
Right. I know. I feel like Oklahoma's out on the field right now. No, you're absolutely right. I guess just clean up from the championship game on Monday. Is this LSU team? Where does this LSU team stack up, Ben? Is this a Pantheon kind of team? Is this one of those teams that historically we're going to look back and we're going to put it alongside, you know, the early 2000s Miami team, you know, the team that won for Miami back in the early 2000s, or maybe those USC teams, or some of the other teams in the 80s or 90s? Is it that kind of team in your mind?
I think right now it's a little bit of an incomplete, only in the sense of I think you need to give it a little bit of time to see what those guys do in the NFL. Because you look at, like, the 01 Hurricanes team, and the lasting legacy is not just that they were very good at the time, but you think about all the guys that they had on that team, even going into, like, the 2-deep and the 3-deep. Like, one of my favorite stories is, like, Frank Gore was a backup, man, and he's probably one of the best running backs to ever be in the league. So I think in that sense, you have to give this LSU team a little bit of time. Now, in a lot of the latest mock drafts, you're talking about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 of those guys from LSU going in the first round, and certainly I think that adds to the legacy and the lore of that team. But I think you can look back over the totality of the season and say, look, because they didn't beat whatever it was, 5 or 6 top 10 teams. Like, Texas wasn't a top 10 team over the course of the year. At the time, it was a big matchup. It's still a good win, but I think you look at later on down the season, when they had to play Auburn, when they had to play Alabama, when they had to play Georgia, and then you get into the playoffs, and you have to play Oklahoma, you have to play Clemson. And so you get all of those teams, if not back-to-back, pretty much, you know, every other week. And this is the time of year when injuries start taking their toll, and, you know, teams like other teams like Ohio State maybe not playing their best at the end of the year. And LSU just seemed to get stronger every single time, and every moment that another team maybe got a little bit of a lead or counterpunched, or you know, had some sort of momentum swing, we think, all right, they're going to get back into it. What was amazing about this LSU squad was every single time they had an answer. And if you follow college football, you know how unreliable college football players are. I mean, they did not take a single game off. And that is that's pretty impressive given the caliber of opponents that they went up against, especially late in the season.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack there, Ben. I want to stick with LSU for a second. And look, you can't take this championship or this season away from Coach O. They were tremendous. Coach O brought in Joe Brady, who was obviously a huge influence on Joe Burrow. There will be no Joe Burrow. There will be no Joe Brady. There will be no Dave Aranda, who took the job at Baylor. You mentioned all the guys that are leaving early at LSU. How big is 2020 for Coach O, just from a perception standpoint among the elite of the college football head coaches?
So this is where you find out just how good you are long-term and how hard it is to be a Nick Saban type. Because you know what Nick Saban goes through? This. Every single year, even if they don't win a national championship. And so the reason why it's so hard to have a dynasty is because whenever you go out and you have this type of success, you win a national championship, people are going to want to emulate what you do. And the guys that you have as coordinators, they're going to get hired away because everyone wants to get in on what they're doing. Those players are going to go to the NFL and strike while the iron's hot. So to be able to go out and, you know, repeat that with new blood and new faces, it's extremely hard to do. Now, I don't think LSU is going to be, you know, they're going to take a little bit of a step back in 2020. And so I think you can give Ed Orgeron that. There's always a little bit of a grace period right after you win a national championship, but you can't have that be like the one-off thing where now you're going back to being like 7-5 and 8-4. The bar has been set. Playoffs are the expectations every single year. It doesn't matter if Alabama's in your division or not. So I think for them long-term in, you know, the next 2, 3, 4 years, are they, you know, getting back to where they were? I think you can give them a little bit of a grace period in 2020, but that floor is very high now. The floor is you got to be on the cusp of a playoff.
What kind of Alabama team are we looking at going into to 2020? Down a little bit this year, but down for Alabama is still better than 98% of college football.
Yeah, down for Alabama was, oh, hey, Mac Jones is incredible. Like, that, right? You know, yeah, you're sitting there going like, now, look, he's no Tua. Mm-hmm. But Mac Jones is very, very good, and I think he's a very capable player. They still have some of those good wide receivers coming back. You know, Damian Harris is a, or Najee Harris was a really big win for them. You know, they're going to reload again, and they'll be right back in the picture. I think you're looking at Alabama and LSU. It's been a great rivalry in the past. I think it's been ratcheted up a couple notches. So this is going to be a really capable squad, top five. Obviously, you know, you have to see how they do at quarterback. Is the chemistry still there in that passing game? What about defense? You know, they were really hit by injuries and sort of put behind the eight ball in the front part of their defense even before the season began. But, you know, Dylan Moses is going to come back. So, I mean, I think if you have some of those questions get answered early on in the year, you're looking at them right back in sort of the normal picture that they're always in.
Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Ben, is Texas ready to take a spot at or near the top of the Big 12? And how important is it for the Big 12 to have a powerful Texas team?
Well, I mean, they've had a really good, not amazing Oklahoma team over the past few years. So, you know, they've been able to sort of put their hat on that. Mm-hmm. But it would be nice if Texas was great again more often than once every few years. I think the problem is in 2000, and I say it's a problem. The issue for them was in 2018 they overachieved a little bit. You know, they went out and won like 10 games. They probably were not a 10-win team. But so then what happens is at Texas, if you win 10 games in year two, you can no longer underachieve, right? Like you've set that expectation where you have to be better. I figured they'd take a step back this year. They did a little bit. But, you know, getting Ellinger back helps. I think for them to really be where they want to be, I mean, they're recruiting well, but defensively, you've got to get better up front. You have to be able to reload so that every single year you're getting those guys who are, you know, day one, maybe day two draft picks. And you can recruit blue chip athletes, but you got to be able to develop them into those types of players. And right now they're kind of like hitting half of that equation. So, and that's, to me, that's sort of an issue with the Big 12 as a whole is with your blue blood programs, you're recruiting pretty well. You're winning some games, but the difference between you and like an LSU or Ohio State or Clemson or Alabama is that on the defensive side, even though Big 12 defenses were a little bit better this year than people like to admit, they don't quite have the NFL, the day one NFL dudes lining up in the trenches and they're starting lineup.
Ben, what do you think of Travis Etienne's decision to go back to Clemson for his senior year?
Well, I mean, my opinion doesn't matter. I mean, it's not the business decision I think a lot of guys in his situation would make. That being said, that's his call. I respect the call. It's not one that I think makes – it's not the one I would have done, but no mm-hmm. one's asking me, right? I'm not Travis Etienne. But, you know, I respect him for it. And, oh, no, look at that. Clemson's just, you know, they get Travis Etienne back. So you're sitting there going like, oh, man, they're going to be really good again next year. So – good for him. As long as it makes him happy, that's what's most important.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Absolutely. Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com. Hey, Ben, before I let you go, you cover the XFL as well. We know that season's going to get started here in a few weeks. Which of the new XFL rules, they're all new because it's the XFL, but which of the rules that are a departure from NFL rules, overtime, kickoffs, there's a few others that are mixed in there. Which one are you most anxious to watch play out in person?
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now. So I was at a practice for Houston and LA. This was yesterday. And they were going over the new kickoff rules. And I'm just going to let you know right now, that's going to be weird for like 3 weeks. no one's going to be quite sure how to 100% handle that for like the first few weeks. You have to wait until they get the ball before you're allowed to move. The lines are only like 5 or 10 yards apart. Let me just say this: they had to practice it, and everyone was a few guys were standing around looking around like they didn't know what they were doing. So that's going to be a little interesting to watch that unfold over the first 2 or 3 weeks.
Let me position that a different way. Are there any of these rules that the XFL is using for, you know, for overtime or conversions, or you just mentioned kickoffs? There's different punt rules too. Are there any rules that you like that the XFL is doing significantly better than how the NFL does it?
Well, you know, a lot of these rules, and the AAF last year when I covered that, even if the rules weren't exactly the same, they stemmed from the same idea, which is how can we move the game a little bit faster? How can we make it a little bit safer, which in the special teams arena, which is, you know, the punting and the kickoffs, is that, you know, you don't want those full speed, long runs down the field where guys are just getting absolutely clobbered and knocked around. And so that's based off of safety studies, but it's also based off of what fans are interested in the most in terms of, you know, where their interest is peaked, where their interest is low. So that's been studied over really a couple of years. And I'm all for that. I'm all for making the game safer, and I'm all for speeding it along. So I think those instances are really good for them. So, I mean, I don't know. I think you tweak with it a little bit, and if this thing lasts more than a year, we'll see. You know, I think they'll just continue to adjust it. But, I mean, I'm fine with all that stuff, and I'm great with two-point conversions too. I mean, you're seeing the NFL really start to get after that a little bit more. So, I'm all for that.
What's your sense on the viability of the league? This is obviously night and day compared to the first iteration of the XFL, which was more of a wrestling-based TV product. This with Oliver Luck, obviously, is much more of an actual, I mean, way more. It is an actual football league. What's your sense on the viability, yeah, having spent some time around it?
Well, I think it's what you just said. You know, I asked a couple guys behind the scenes. I said, you know, what is it about this that's going to make it better? And they said, you know, it's football guys that are doing it. And you mentioned Oliver Luck. I think you could even go down to the team level. You know, Moose Johnston is you know, player ops for Dallas, and he came from the AAF, and he really knows his stuff. I just saw Randy Mueller with Houston yesterday. He was with the Salt Lake Stallions last year with the AAF, and those guys were really good at putting together rosters. I was talking to June Jones yesterday, and he said, you know, I've rebuilt programs my entire life, Hawaii, SMU. This is the first time I really feel like I'm on a level playing field. So I think the notable difference from the first XFL is exactly what you just said, was you're going from like wrestling entertainment to, okay, it's got to actually be a football product that we're putting out there. Now, the key difference between the XFL and the AAF, they're just very markedly different enterprises. The AAF was, you know, an LLC. They were trying to license a product from a technology standpoint, sell it off, be profitable later on down the road. And in the meantime, you got to find liquidity with that. That's where everything kind of fell apart in the first few months of the season. And with this, you're not having to worry about that. Vince McMahon providing that liquidity, you've got TV deals in place. So I think it really has a chance. I mean, the time of year in which this is being played, you throw in gambling, fantasy football, you know there's absolutely a degenerate niche for those things. You know what? I'm a firm believer, and I said this last year even when the AAF failed, someone's going to get it right, and it might be this one.
Yeah, we'll see. Ben Kercheval, CBSSports.com, covers college football and the XFL. Ben, really appreciate you taking a few minutes on a Sunday night. Go enjoy enjoy as much as we can the second half of this blowout here.
Yeah, I'll probably turn it off and go watch like another episode of Netflix or something like
there
that.
You so, there you go. There you go. We appreciate you, Ben. All right, there he is, Ben Kercheval.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.